Welcome back to the Elle Synergy podcast. I'm obviously with Laura today.
Hello, hello. And it's been a while. I think we haven't talked to you guys in...
I think it's been six months, maybe.
I was going to say a year. I'm like so bad at time. For me, everything is like a year.
It feels like forever because so much happens. But I think probably the last one was around October or something, no?
It's definitely been a while.
Anyway, we don't know, but it's been a while. But we missed it. Actually, if there's one thing that we love doing out of all the social media platforms, it's probably podcasts, because I don't know, it feels less edited and it feels like we can say what the hell we want and we don't have to think about the algorithm or anything. It's just more a way for us to stay in touch, to share, you know, our business news or personal news or anything we feel like talking about or anything we can help you with. Mindset, business, life stuff, even handling a business with your personal life and so on.
Yeah, it just feels a bit more informal. I think you also get to know us a little bit more, you know, as much as we love Instagram, it's very curated. The attention span is a bit lower. So here you're probably doing something else, whether you're driving, doing the dishes or having a shower, whatever it is. I hope you're multitasking because we're not always going to be as curated here. But yeah, today we wanted to talk to you about kind of everything that's been going on behind the scenes. I just checked, our last episode was in August. So it's been a few months. And that means a lot has changed in the business since then. And as always, we love giving you some sort of unfiltered behind the scenes into our business through here, because well, we make mistakes, we learn from them, maybe you can learn from them as well. There's definitely some lessons in there. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today.
I think maybe let's start with why we stopped the podcast in the first place and what happened since. I think August was like the last good month in the business, as in, you know, before things went a bit pear-shaped, and that's why we went a bit, you know, like
MIA. We were like... bye.
Like, you know what, I'm out of here. I need a fucking break. No, but I think, you know, and it's funny because we talked to a bunch of people who started probably about the same time as us, and they all had this kind of like feeling probably in about the same time as us of like being overwhelmed, being a bit fed up with the business, it's not really fed up with the business, but being overwhelmed. I would say that's the most important thing. It's like being, you know, social media can be intense. And when we were on all platforms, we were on YouTube, podcast, TikTok, Pinterest, like obviously Instagram every day. And it was just a bit much.
I think for us, the business took off also very quickly. Elle Synergy was actually a multiple six-figure business in like a matter of like 2-3 months of starting. So it was extremely quick. I mean, our first IBA launch like changed our entire business, and that launch like accelerated everything, which was amazing, something we're so grateful for. And obviously, you know, it's been amazing since then, but also very overwhelming since then, because obviously suddenly our business was so much bigger. We were totally not prepared for that, to be honest. We hired a lot. We, you know, launched things, we relaunched things. We were indeed, like Ginny said, on all types of platforms. You know, then suddenly we had a massive team at some point. Like, I think there was a moment where we had, I don't know, maybe 5 employees or something, which was, you know, a big responsibility. And then you have the financial side of things, you know, you're having your consistent income, but obviously your overhead costs are going up. So suddenly we were this, I would say, quote unquote, not so small business anymore, that actually felt very real, where Ginny and I had to step up a lot. We've definitely learned a lot, but there's also been this part of us, like of our, I would say almost our personal brands being in a way of like, whoa, it's not just Ginny and Laura anymore. Like, this is now like a whole big company. And sometimes I think we overcomplicated things and then turning out. I mean, sometimes. This happened.
I think, you know, we probably talked about this before, but we're coming from corporates and that's all we knew. Like, we were not entrepreneurs before. We obviously we'd never done that before, and we didn't really have anyone to tell us what to do. You know, sometimes that's just the reality of being an entrepreneur and all of that. And, you know, we just had one example in mind, was corporate, and we hired like a medium business or a startup, you know, has a shit ton of budget behind, and you know, I'm thinking, how do you call it? Like when they get funding.
Yeah, funding, like,
you know,
investment.
To round. Hire because they have to, you know, keep on, obviously, it's often tech startup and stuff like that. And we had a bit this model in mind. Okay, we're going to hire because we need to keep growing the business and all of that. And we have this pressure. And we're like, it's fine if we don't, you know, cash out that much because it's, you know, we're going to grow. And in the end, the reality is that handling a team is, it's so hard.
I mean, hard. Kudos for all the managers out there.
Yeah.
You have a real, like, damn difficult job. And I know for some people it might not feel difficult, but I mean, if that's the case, then amazing. But yeah, it is a job to manage people.
I think it's a job. It's a job. And we were CEOs, we were social media content creators on top of being managers. And that was an impossible job, basically. I mean, on top of everything else.
On top of also, FYI, having a life, just putting it out there, Ginny and I do have a personal life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of changes as well. Last year was actually August was the month you got married. And, you know, we had a lot of stuff happening also behind the scenes.
Yeah, for me, it was a busy year, probably on the positive side. For Laura, it was a busy year on the negative side. But
I mean, I had my surgery in September as well and stuff. So
yeah,
that didn't help. So yeah,
it was a lot going on, a lot happening. And we had a team, obviously, and we were trying to find, I guess, the right team, as in what kind of like jobs we need in the business to help us, but that doesn't make us more overwhelmed than we already are. And we kept being overwhelmed. The more we were hiring, the more overwhelmed we were, and the more we felt like we were working. And we, I don't know, it was just tricky.
I think we are not the best. I mean, obviously, this is all new to us, right? So we did a few times hire and then had this person that we were like, oh, this person is amazing. But we then built the business to accommodate our employees more than think of like, what does the business need? And then sometimes making difficult decisions. So I think we have been in a limbo for a long time with the business where we, you know, indeed hired. And then when we found that person that was a good fit for the company culture and, you know, our way of working and all of that, then we would do everything to keep that person and then like create jobs and like shuffle things around to just make it work instead of thinking, oh, we are actually a company. Things are not that personal. We just need to look at, you know, what are our main drivers of revenue right now? Where do we need help? And just hire in that department. And I think we outsourced a little bit too quickly and then outsourced a lot of things that we were like, okay, we need more time free. So we'll give this away. We'll give that away. We'll give that away. And then at the end of the day, we ended up with a team that was way bigger than what we honestly needed. And it was a lot to handle. And, you know, they say that a lot in management as well. Like sometimes you can hire more people, but the efficiency goes down. That was 100% something that we've also experienced at some point. So, you know,
I mean,
hiring more doesn't always mean the company works better.
it was hard because we kept thinking our team kept being overwhelmed. So we're like, okay, we need more people. But I am definitely a bad manager. I think Laura is 10 times better than I am. I'm a terrible one and I hate that job. So it was clearly not for me. So that was not already something positive, but I think it was just, anyway, I don't even know where to even start. Like I would need to tell you, like talk for 3 hours about management and all of that. But bottom line is we hired a lot of people. Sometimes it was the wrong people. Sometimes it was for the wrong jobs. So we switched jobs and all of that. So it was stressful for our team, but also it was a very junior team. So, you know, they needed a lot of micromanagement, which we couldn't really give them because we were very busy already with the business and the content creation and all of that. So we ended up all overwhelmed. Everyone was overwhelmed. Whether it's me, Laura, the team, everyone felt stressed, overwhelmed. And we were just at the point of like, what do we do? Like, we just felt like, you know what, let's start from zero. Like, I want to quit. I felt like that.
Yeah, I think the problem as well is like, and I say this a lot to Ginny and, you know, in the conversations that we have, is like employees can leave a job, but we can't just leave the company. Like, we are in this for the long run. I mean, I hope we are, Ginny.
Yeah.
No, but like, you know, it's not just a job. It's your company. It's your name on the door as a personal brand even. So you know, you have to think of the long term. And a lot of people say build the business you want to run. And I fully agree with that. And I think we both forgot about that when we made the business so much more complicated than it needs to be, or when we hired, let's say, juniors, when actually we needed maybe seniors, you know, like there's been a lot of things a lot like that, I mean, along the way, that turned it into a business that wasn't as enjoyable for us.
I think also we hired juniors because that's all we could afford. Like, yeah, exactly. About it, it's like, at some point when you're a small business, it's so difficult to hire a team because, like I said, we're not a tech startup who has, you know, millions to invest or anything. And it was already like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, a year to invest in employees that we were struggling to make perform to a certain level, et cetera, because we were probably expecting a certain level that they were not at because it was junior. And when we tried to hire senior, it was not the right people. Anyway, like,
and
again,
it all started, I think maybe that's also good to say, because like in the early stages when we had our own businesses, we actually worked with freelancers. And the reason we ended up buying employees, hiring employees, is actually because we kept thinking about, okay, well, we have this freelancer that we pay literally the price of a full-time junior employee, but they only do this for us, work so many hours. So if instead we would invest that same amount into having someone full-time on the team, then we're going to get so much more done as a company. Plus, we have people that are really in it with us, and they're not, like, let's say, today working for us and tomorrow for our competitors. So that's why we ended up being like, okay, let's actually have a team of our own. That was our thought process, but obviously super naive because we forgot about the fact that employees take holidays, need training, need bonuses,
need motivation,
need performance reviews, need maybe weekly one-to-ones or at least a team meeting or something, right? So they need training, onboarding, all those things. Whereas obviously a freelancer or an agency or, you know, whatever, like someone that is independent, you don't have all those worries. You don't have to worry about in the morning if you wake up in a bad mood that you have to be in the perfect mood for, let's say, a team call. You know, it's just about very much business. You know, you brief someone, they do the job, that's it. You don't have to worry about everything that, you know, goes on in that person's life almost. So obviously, yeah, employees, that's very different. We completely underestimated that. And I think that is on itself such a big job, right? Like, I mean, suddenly we had to really get into HR and, you know, we were streamlining our business, creating SOPs, creating onboarding courses to make sure that people are all on the same page, you know, do training.
Just that, but like finding way to motivate them and team building and being like, okay, on Friday's afternoon, you're going to actually just work on your training. And we were trying so hard to find a way to
make this work.
make this work and keep them motivated and happy and keep the performance higher and stuff like that. And once again, we're not managers. And on top of it, it's a remote team, which is obviously, you know, it's I think it's a specific job on its own. Like having a remote team is like, you know, I think there's ways to learn how to motivate a remote team, and we were trying to, but it was
difficult. It's a structural issue, you know, like it's like us never having been managers. Then you have, second of all, junior people who have never worked before, and this is their first job,
and so it's remote,
and it's remote on top of it. So you can imagine how fun it was behind the scenes. I mean, honestly, we did have fun. We had good times, don't get me wrong. But yeah, all of this kind of at some point, as much as we were trying to like make things work, and it was just a bit of ups and downs definitely along the way.
I think that's why we stopped. Like, first of all, we're like, okay, there's too much going on. Because like Laura said, it's like, there's so much management that we had to do on top of keeping the business running, on top of our students and all of that. And it was like, we had YouTube, and YouTube is quite a lot of work, and then we had the podcast and all of that, and we're like, okay, what is actually not bringing a lot of money right now? Like, podcast and YouTube is not something that we saw the conversion, you know, being very high or anything. So let's cut the things that we don't necessarily need to do in order to keep our, you know, ongoings, like
our business,
our revenue ongoing and et cetera. So we cut all the things that was taking us time and that we actually didn't really need to do, which was podcast, YouTube.
I think that was it. And then Yeah, and then at some point, so what we're going to get to, because I feel like we've been warming up now for like 15 minutes, is I think it was in October, end of October or November, something like that, we made the decision to let go of our team.
Yeah, which was the most difficult decision we had to take since the business opened, and probably one of the most difficult decisions I had to take professionally. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
For sure. But yeah, I think it's just like, basically, I remember we were in a brainstorm with Laura and we were trying to find again how to make things work, because we felt like we just were doing the job of our team because it was not really performing and all of that. And we're breaking our head and we're like, okay, we need a manager. Like we need, if it's going to work, we need a manager, but a manager costs a lot of money. And we didn't have this money to invest in the business.
And also, that's like we're going back to the whole thing of like trying to solve a situation that we're in instead of trying to think of, if we were starting from zero, what would make sense right now. And I think that's such a difficult decision to make, especially, I mean, maybe it's just a stereotype, but I think especially as a woman, like I tend to think a lot about like obviously other people's feelings, and it's not nice to make such decisions. And of course, so I mean, we are even at this point, you know, we were linked to our employees, like we care about them, like you know these people on a personal level. So it's never easy to let people go and restructure like that. But from a business perspective, we were completely doing ourselves a disservice and not honoring the business by not just thinking of what the company needs. Like, what do we need to be able to keep serving our clients, keep the lights on, keep the business going in a way that makes sense, that it can grow, that we can help more people. And then we just had to generally think of like, what are the tasks that need doing? And right now we have all these people that actually don't fill the gaps that we have. And we can't move them around again to try to
Because we moved so much, because we moved our graphic designers to more like a video editor, which, you know, she wasn't hired for, and all that because we wanted to keep that person because we like that person, but it was not benefiting the business in any way. It was more like want to keep people happy kind of thing. And it was just like, it didn't make any sense at all. Like the needs that we had, yeah, we're not fulfilled by the team that we had, and it would take us less time to actually do it ourselves or just cutting it out completely. So that's why we decided to let go our team. And like we said, it was a very, very difficult decision that we didn't take lightly. We took some time to reflect on it to see if there were any other solution. But like we said, it was just probably the best that we could do at the time. So that happened around October, November. And obviously it was a lot of restructuring for me and Laura after that. It was a lot of like, you know, especially when you've been delegating a lot of stuff for 2 years, and then you're like,
to know stuff
how
again.
Does
you're
this like, business work?
Already? Honestly, it was like a daily thing. Like, how does this work again, Jeannie?
Do you Where is it? What can I find? Like, do we have an SOP about it? Like, what tool did we use for that? Like,
oh my
why
God.
Why do we pay for these things still? Like, oh my God. Yeah. It was a lot of like canceling
like, we
still stuff.
Find out, even this week, we found out that we're still paying for a tool that we're not using. And I'm like, oh yeah, true. You know,
exactly.
There's
so,
like things that fell through the cracks, but it's okay.
It was a lot. I think only now we're starting to be on top of it. So it took us probably 6 months to get on top of actually restructuring the business, something a bit more easy, a bit more simple, not overcomplicated. Because another thing is like, you know, when you have a team obviously that works full time for you, you have to find them work to do. You know, sometimes
I think
job
that
was like.
Thing. I think I was looking for like making sure that people had a full-time job that was like a job on its own. And I actually talked to like another business owner who's a friend of mine, and she literally had the same issue. She ended up also firing quite a few people on our team for that exact same reason. So just to say, like, if you're ever in that situation, let's normalize being lost and having to restructure. It sucks, but you know, it happens. But she was talking to me about the same exact issue. She said, I literally had anxiety every Monday of like, do I have actually enough work for them this week? And do I, you know, can they do this and that and this and that? And at the end of the day, if you really think about it, our business is literally Jeannie's personal brand and my personal brand. It's not that complicated. You know, like we were doing this by ourselves before. And,
and
there are things behind the scenes, but there's also amazing tools. And there's still, obviously, we still have some freelancers helping us out on certain tasks or stuff. But at least it's just then that one task that we know we need doing instead I think of it's like that. Full-time managing one person.
I think when you're on a outside of project, because I think our business is a bit more, is a project. When I say project, could be a launch, could be a new product, could be a, I don't know, like a side project or whatever. When we outside of project, it's literally just like, it's probably the best business in the world for that. It's like you post, you know, content on social media and that's it. That's pretty great. Much it. Obviously,
you just act a bit like an influencer. You just like,
yeah, it's like content. You create content and then the money comes in. Obviously, you have the back end of it, of like, you know, welcoming students. That needs to be done and all of that. Obviously, that's automated and stuff like that. And you have to handle, you know, requests from students and stuff like that. So that takes a bit of time, but that's pretty much it. That's all it needs to do. And when we had our team, like, we're trying to find them more work and more things and complicating things. And I remember having to check their work was taking me more time than actually doing the job by myself. So that's when I was like, no, something's wrong. Like, it's not working for the type of business that we have. It is not working. I think if you think about an influencer, they would probably not hire a huge team or anything. They might have, you know, a few freelancers helping them. But I think that's when we went back to like, okay, actually freelancers works well. That works fine. We don't even have, like, we have one freelancer for social media management. So because we post on Pinterest, YouTube, TikTok, and then, all these things. Yeah. If it was just Instagram, I wouldn't even do it because I schedule my own Instagram content because I like being that as well. The flexibility, like the being able to not having to plan so long in advance. Because when you have a team, you have to. You don't have a choice because any time to edit the content, create the graphics, post the content.
Yeah.
And if they post a whole month of content and you're like, oh, actually, I'm going to change that. And, you know, that's wasted time. Then now if I do it myself, no one, like, it's just my time wasted. And I don't actually plan so much in advance anymore. I always will plan in advance, but I'm much more flexible in my content. Yeah.
And I think this is such a big one. So, and I kind of want to elaborate a bit more on like what our process was like, so you understand how long it was. Is like, when we would create content, we would create a briefing document on Word, then give it to, let's say, the graphic designer who then designs. Then we have to approve it, the design. Then, okay, design is approved with like some reviews and stuff. So obviously this all has to happen at least a week before posting, because obviously otherwise things are not done in advance. Then the content goes to the social media manager that then will schedule the content or maybe still do some final tweaks or, you know, things like that. And then the content is scheduled. So if me, like, let's say, I don't know, I wake up and let's say I decide to put a meme out there because there, I don't know, it was yesterday, the Met Gala, and I thought it would be funny to talk about that. I technically can't do that because all my content is already scheduled for the next at least week. And my grids with the colors that we have planned will be completely messed up design-wise. So it's like, you just don't. There's no room for being spontaneous. There's also, like, in general, it's very difficult, like, I think, as a content creator to be in that situation because you can't really be creative anymore. Like, you have to be so almost analytical and planned and all of that. So I think it's like where you start acting like a big business where it doesn't make sense. Like, the strength of our business, and I'm guessing for a lot of you guys listening is your strength as well, is that, you know, it's fueled by a personal brand. And a personal brand means being able to really lean into yourself, your personality, your vibe, your energy, and sharing that with your audience. And that is something that we honestly haven't been able to do for, I almost want to say, years now, because obviously we've had a team for like, well, probably 2 years or more or less. And that's not the team's fault, of course not. That's our fault for making the company so complicated. But it didn't really work in the long term. So I think that's where we realized, like, no, we actually have to focus on, like, what are the drivers. In our case, that's our Instagram, our personal brands. And then going back to, like, how can we make that process enjoyable? How can we make sure there is room for creativity? How can we make sure that people know it's actually us and they don't feel like there's a whole team behind it, which then kind of undermines our, I would say, almost authenticity in the way that we show up and stuff. So I think that's now been something a lot on our mind the last month as well, is like, let's just have fun with the business. Let's just have, you know, play with it a bit more, like, show up how we are, not overthink it, not be too strategic. Yes, you need to have a content strategy, don't get me wrong, but there also is a personal brand there and you want to keep that in mind as well. And I think that's something that Bojin and I definitely forgot a bit along the way as we were trying to build, I don't know, what almost seemed like a multinational company that couldn't freaking move when we just quickly wanted to change something. And obviously people are also upset when you change things last minute and then you seem like the crazy person. But let's be fair, like our environment of social media is changing every minute, every second. So we need massive room for flexibility. Like yeah. Adam Mosseri is changing the features of Instagram weekly, guys. Like we need to be able to talk about that.
Remember, we were like, okay, actually, we're going to change. I mean, I'm not even going to get into this because I don't have the energy, but like change the branding, you know, and it was a whole thing. And our team got upset and all of that, and then we're like, yeah, but it's because Instagram's evolving, so we need to change with it. And then it was like, oh, we're gonna do more reels and less carousels. Oh, we're gonna test that for a few months. But the person that we hired was just doing carousels, you know, it was design. So then we don't need her, you know, like, and we're not gonna fire her like that. So we're like, okay, well, why don't you try video? And luckily she was good at video, so it was fine, and we moved her to video, but it might not be the thing that she wants to do. And it was just like, we had no flexibility. There's always, every time we take a decision, there were people involved, and that's completely normal, obviously. But when you're such a small business, like it doesn't need to be that complicated. It's like, we didn't really need those people. It was just in the first place, we hired those people, so we had more free time to think and stuff like that. And we ended up being actually more overwhelmed. But yeah. Anyway, I think
there have been good periods, but the long run of the business was difficult like that. So yeah, now it's Ginny and I, every now and then some freelancers. I mean, we have a constant freelancer for social media, and then the rest is a bit ad hoc. So like obviously a podcast editor and like, you know, the areas where we know that we need help, but it's very much project-based, I would say.
Yeah, it's not. We just have, right now we just have one freelancer that works, I mean, all the time for us, like it's a social media, but we are looking for a video editor. So if you're an agency or something, let us know. But yeah, that's it. And video editor is for YouTube. But for, if we had just had Instagram, like we would probably have no one. It would just be me and Laura, because that's absolutely fine. That's perfectly like, since we don't have the team, I got so much more time back. Like, I am actually now working 10 to 15 hours a week. I feel so
and that was stressed. By the way, when I was traveling. So you were doing everything kind of.
Yeah. So yeah, I was handling a lot. But now, yeah, like I said, probably work. You know, I just need to create my content. Like, that's pretty much it. And it's good because I have the brain space to enjoy what I want to create about and think about it. And before, I didn't even have this brain space. I was like in a go, 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 and I had to plan a month in advance. And like we said, no room for flexibility. So, I mean, honestly, for us, it's been way less stressful, way less work. Like we said, it took us a bit of time to come to that level again, because we had to remember how our business works and find new things, like, oh, do we actually need this tool, or do we actually need to do that, or would etc. But now
we launched as well, like I think we had quite a few projects after that as well, like we we created IGA, so instant growth.
So yeah, after that we actually created IGA, which was obviously when you create a new product, it's a shit ton of work because you have to create the whole product in itself. And then it was a bit of a headache too, because we had a team usually to, you know, help us create a product, launch a product and all of that. So then we had no one. So that was a bit stressful because we had to learn on how we're going to do this and who is going to help us with video editing and all of that. But once we figured it out, it was working fine. So yeah, we have Instant Growth Accelerator, which is our new product, which focuses on helping you create better content. So knowing how to create great content on Instagram so you can attract your ideal clients and get a lead. So it's all about growth, but mainly growth for your business. So meaning getting some leads. And we absolutely love to be a bit more focused on one product, as in this product is a little bit more focused on actually Instagram growth, like, and Instagram, you know, like attracting people to you through content marketing and knowing how to create great content for that. And it was a lot of fun, I think, to create, and it was helpful for us, you know, to know how to create content again. It was like, sometimes you forget what you know and actually putting it down on paper. You're like,
we were literally doing the course and thinking like, oh my god, this course is so amazing, like how did we forget some of this stuff? Like, I don't know, like we revisit our strategies and then redo them and then update them, obviously. And then we're like, wow, this is really good. I need to do this course every week myself so I don't forget, because sometimes I just go into like autopilot and I forget the good stuff, you know? So
yeah,
yeah, it was very good in that sense. We enjoyed the launch. We, you know, enjoy seeing all the new students now inside. And it's just, yeah, it's a really great program. So yeah, if you're interested in that, definitely know that we do have, you know, a free masterclass that introduces you to the program that gives you also some free value around creating your content strategy. We'll link it in the speaker notes as well, so you can find it.
It's
there.
Literally a whole lesson from that course.
Yeah.
The masterclass. So that's make sure cool. to check it out, because it's the content strategy for growth and leads, and it's actually a whole lesson from IGA, and we have, I don't know, 10 modules. Yeah, 10 modules inside IGA, and there's about three to four
over 40 lessons, I think, in total.
Yeah.
It's a really good training, and also it's not too long. It's around 40 minutes, so it's even less than an hour, so it doesn't take too much of your time, and you'll definitely, you know, be happy to have seen the ins and outs of what a real content strategy is, because there's a lot more to it than we sometimes think.
But yeah, that's what's happened to us. I mean,
to us, this is what we caused.
No, yeah, but, obviously, personally, the beginning of the year was a bit of a. I mean, if you missed the news, I got pregnant, so the first 3 months were not fun. So until, you know, I mean, it's still not fun, but it's still a bit better than it was the first trimester. So I was also a bit struggling to work and get things done. And Laura went to the US for hormones.
Yeah, that was last month. And I got engaged.
Also. I wasn't sure if I could tell.
I was like, nah, it's fine. By the time this is aired, I will have shared it publicly.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, I also got engaged. I spent a month in California, most probably moving there. for a bit very soon as well, so just really leaning into that digital nomad life. And I don't want to make it too long, but that's also something that I feel like was keeping me at least a bit from fully living this business.
Yeah,
like I feel like we very much, and you see that on our Instagram, like we very much want you to know that you can have freedom. You can have location freedom. You can have time freedom. You can have financial freedom, you know, all these things, however you want to spend your time, whether that's with your family, whether that's traveling the world, whatever that looks like for you. But so for me personally, obviously last year was a bit of a difficult year. My mom was sick. I had a double mastectomy and reconstruction myself. So health-wise, it was a bit a difficult one. So obviously I wasn't traveling as much as I would like to. And then before that, we had COVID and all of that. But now I technically have that freedom, but I wasn't fully still embracing it yet. And I feel like for me, at least with the team, I sometimes felt a bit guilty as well. Having like full-time employees, that, you know, work day in, day out for you, you know, Monday to Friday. And then meanwhile, I actually have all this flexibility and I want to embrace that about the business as well. That is even part of my brand at this point, right? That's what I want you guys to know that is possible. So I want to share that. But I did feel sometimes a bit itchy about that towards, you know, our team. So I think now I can finally be unapologetically myself in like embracing the freedom that the business gives me without feeling sometimes itchy about, you know, feeling a bit of a almost, I would say, hypocrite of having like full-time employees, but then also like, you know, having
promoting.
So much
freedom. I think even worse for me, I hated corporate and kept promoting. Yeah, I hated corporate, get out of the corporate world kind of thing. And yet we have full-time employees working for us. And it was always so contradictory.
Yeah.
It was just awkward. And the number of times where I wouldn't share something that I was doing in my stories just because I was too awkward regarding my team. And I can't live like that. Like, I need to be able to show you guys what I'm actually up to, you know? Sometimes I was literally in bed because, I don't know, I felt like it watching a Netflix show. But because my team was working, I felt awkward sharing that because they were like there overwhelmed and worried or whatever. And I'm here, I don't care, you know? You know you're going to hate your boss for it, you know?
And I know rationally, I would tell myself, well, if they want this, they can start their own business. Of course, rationally, you can tell yourself that. But it's still difficult to not take that a little bit into account, you know, like it's just, it I mean, for me, it felt unnatural and it definitely didn't help the way I show up online.
And even
because I felt like I had to filter all the time. And now yeah, and I don't feel like I have that.
I remember once that was in the worst period, like I think it was 2021, we had all these issues as well. And I went to the hairdresser and that was, you know, like a treat. I was going to the hairdresser for the day. I didn't want to be bothered. I told the team, I don't want to be bothered. I'm going to the hairdresser. I'm going to London for the day. Like, whatever, deal with yourself. Only if anything urgent, WhatsApp me. Got WhatsApp all day. And I'm like, one fucking day. And that, it happened again when we were in London with Laura. It's like, and it was not even urgent things. And you're like, come on, like just one day. And it never felt... You know, you always had this feeling when you were on holidays or traveling, you know, and embracing this life that you actually have freedom, where you had to check Slack a million times a day because they needed approval on some things, or you check your WhatsApp. Oh, actually, sorry to bother you, but like, I actually need you. And you're like, oh, fuck, you know, and sometimes it's my fault, you know, I forgot to approve something or whatever, but it's like, it never felt actually freedom. Like, it never felt like that. Yeah. Now it's like the only thing I have to worry about is Laura. It's like,
we do not give a fuck about that stuff.
Like, I know she'll be fine. You know, she's not gonna be like, Ginny, I need your approval for this. You know, like, so it was just, yeah. And again, like, it's not like we rejecting all the faults on our employees. Like, we not managers and we did a shit job at it and we didn't hire properly and we made so many fucking mistakes. And that's definitely why we're in this position. Or ended up in this position, but all that to say, yeah, like since like we never felt completely free until we actually let go of the team, and now it feels so much more like I went to Crete when it was still kind of like in the US and no drama, like I didn't have to check Slack, I didn't have to, it was fine, like I didn't even take my laptop and it was fine, and you know.
Like the simplifying of everything, and you know, the sales still roll in, the business is still running, there's nothing exploding, and if there is something we can always jump in, you know, but like at the end of the day it has been quite helpful too. I mean, most of the time the things that were exploding were more internally in the business than anything else really, and were the things that we created or from by overcomplicating our business. So yeah, it's been quite nice in that sense, and like for me personally, and I'm also just really excited now because I feel like I can, I don't know, show up a lot more in the moment. And I have the next year, I'll probably be traveling a lot and sharing that with you guys. And I'm just very excited about that. And it's sad to say that it took, you know, some big decisions in the business to like fully embrace it. But I do think it's going to make a big difference to like, you know, how we show up and how we build a community for you guys and how we show you real freedom, because it's possible. Yeah. And if anything, we overcomplicated and created a lot of work. But if you look at it, once you have, let's say, a course, a sales funnel that runs passively, and you create content every now and then, maybe you want to update your course or update something in your emails or update something in your sales funnel. But other than that, you're just creating content, maybe doing some email marketing, and that's it. That's literally it. So,
stay tuned because we'll share more about this very soon. In the meantime, I think we're going to leave it here, right? Like,
I mean, you're probably bored of us already now. You've probably heard us repeat things over and over again.
But yeah,
thank you for listening.
Yeah. In the meantime, don't forget that you have the free masterclass. Like we said, it's like a whole lesson from IGA, so Instant Growth Accelerator. And if you're interested in joining IGA, you'll have a special bonus that's only through this masterclass. If you don't join through this masterclass, you don't have, and it's a huge discount. And if you have any questions, you can DM us on Instagram, and that's it really. So
thanks so much for listening. Yes, see you soon.
Bye.